Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. There are over 900 messages that can be connected to on the godschool.com. Before we begin the message today, I want to talk to the people who are listening or have listened on shortwave radio. I believe it's been over 3 years that one of our congregation has contracted to have these messages sent out over shortwave radio. And I want to tell you how disappointed I am in any of you who have heard these messages, not traditional messages of the church, but messages from the Word of God that you have not responded to. You know, there were many in Jesus' day, very religious, who never responded or never comprehended who Jesus was speaking to, or what he was declaring. You know, Hebrews 1 says, God at various times and in sundry ways spoke to us by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. It's to your benefit, not only to communicate with the God who has declared himself through this word that he has preserved for thousands of years through men, in spite of all our faults, God has preserved his word. That those of us whom he has chosen for himself from before the foundation of the world might be able to grab hold and lean upon God's word of promise. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are in him, that is in Jesus, yea or yes, and in him, amen, that is in him, in Jesus, all the promises are no doubt. Psalm 84, and we're not teaching on Psalm 84 today. We have in the past, and I have no doubt we will again in the future. But the 12th verse of Psalm 84 says, O Lord of hosts, that is speaking to the God who is in control of animate as well as inanimate objects, in control of everything, because he made everything from nothing, but he spoke everything into existence. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Now, the Hebrew word being translated trust here is the word batak. The picture in the Hebrew is one of leaning upon a staff with your whole weight, with the expectancy that that staff is able to support or hold you up. Going further into this word, batak, it speaks of security, safety, confidence, trust. The Hebrew conveys a sense of security and confidence in the context of trust in God, or a state of being free from fear. It's used to describe both physical and spiritual assurance. Batak is frequently associated with peace and security that come from reliance on God. Trust in God was not merely an abstract idea, but a practical reality that influenced daily life. Israelites were often reminded that their true security lay not in military might or alliances, but in their faithfulness, faith, batak, leaning on God and his promises. That verse in 2 Corinthians gives sons and daughters of God, Christians, a license to go throughout God's book, grab hold of any promise of God that meets their situation, and make it theirs to grab hold of that promise. Now, interestingly enough, in that 12th verse of Psalm 84, it says, O Lord of hosts, blessed. The word here in the Hebrew is Esher. It's that same word in verse 5 of Psalm 84. Esher. I want to go today to Deuteronomy 33, the 24th verse. It's called the Song of Esher. It says, and of Esher said, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Here, Moses blessing Asher is speaking for God. And he says of Asher, and this Asher speaks. Oftentimes, this word is translated happy or happiness. It goes a lot deeper than that, folks. It speaks of a state of being with no change. Circumstance may change, but this blessed state never changes. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, you know, This week I came across another so-called, and I doubt it, Christian television station. I'm not going to name it because I don't want you going there. I don't want you being subverted. I don't want you being lied to. I don't want Satan's message seeming to come from an angel of light. You know, he was the first liar, and I find so much in the church today that is taking the word of God out of context and suggesting that because you think you have come to God on your own, you chose God instead of understanding that God chose you, that life is just going to be a bowl of cherries, that you're going to have a great life, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, that great peace is going to come to you. Well, if that's the fact, why would God, in this blessing of Asher, speaking of one who's in a blessed state, why would he say, thy shoes shall be iron and brass? Why doesn't he say, you only have to wear bedroom slippers? You only have to wear flip-flops to walk on the beach, on the white sandy beach, with the gentle waves rolling in from on the shores. No, he said this, that we might come to understand that this walk of faith, that this walk of batak, that this walk of leaning upon God's word, it brings the life of God in us and puts us in Christ, and warfare ensues. What, you say? What are you saying, Don? I'm saying, when we are operating in the gift of faith that is given to us by God because of his choosing for himself before the worlds were formed, as we begin to operate in faith, warfare ensues. And the battle for eternal life is daily upon us. God is letting us know through his telling us that our shoes shall be iron and brass, that he's preparing us for this war. He goes on to say, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, Dr. Scott, as he gave a message from this passage, these passages, used to say, this is not a message to all. This is a message to each of us. As your day, so shall your strength be. If you wake up in the morning and you're feeling weak and tired, cheer up! It's not going to be that tough of a day. But on the converse, if you wake up full of vim and vinegar and strength, watch out, because that strength is provided to you because it's probably going to be a tough day. Battles may ensue. But the promise of God is, whatever your day is, the strength from God is going to be sufficient to face it. In the Corinthian letter, God says, He'll not tempt us beyond that which ye are able. God's strength is available, is promised for whatever you might be facing each and every day. The 27th verse says, the eternal God shall be thy refuge. Thy refuge. Personal. Each. You. This word being translated eternal is a pictorial word, and it speaks of the God of the forefront. God is ever on the corner before we get there, and he's there as a refuge. A place of security, a shield. It says in Psalm 3, thou art a shield about me. My glory and the lifter up of mine head, God. We always are trying to put God on display because through this book, God puts himself on display. Oh, that we might come to lean upon his word. The God of the forefront. God is on the corner before we get there as a refuge. And it goes on to say, and underneath all are the everlasting arms. Again, another pictorial word. If you could conceive in your mind's eye of bottomless, what this promise conveys, no matter how low you may go, God's arms are beneath bottomless. You can't go low enough where God is not able to hold you up. Oh, be a good courage! Courage, as we've often said here, is 90% of faith. God's promise, underneath all, are the everlasting arms. Let's bring it to some context today, and the opportunity to grab hold of this promise for the men and women living in Israel, that's, you know, the Jews are not the exclusive chosen people of God. Judah was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And not only are the Jews in the midst of a war, but if you had any understanding, so are we, Israel. And I'm not talking figuratively, like, you know, Christianity is taken over for the physical condition and promises God made to Israel. We are Israel. And if you don't understand that, go and listen to the second greatest story ever told at thegodschool.com. There's about 12 hours on the subject that you might have some understanding of God and His faithfulness and His control of history. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, God speaking, destroy them. Don't give me morality. Don't give me ethics. God is not interested in your morality or your ethical stances. He's interested in those people who are leaning upon Him and upon His word and upon His promises. And we have this promise from God that He will destroy them. There is a day coming that Israel, not only those people dwelling in that territory that we today call Israel, but also all of Israel, all of God's chosen people, shall dwell in safety alone. And that's the God School for today.